The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Maybe the Pistons were just ahead of their time. Maybe Isaiah Thomas and Dennis Rodman and John Sally and those guys, not wanting to shake the Bulls' hands, maybe they were just 30 years early. And they knew, hey, this is unsanitary. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up in this hour here on the Will Cain Show, it looks like Jameis Winston may have a home. He's circling around a certain team, and I think it just might be the perfect fit to rehabilitate Jameis Winston. Plus, how many jobs are there really left? And if you can answer the question on when's the last time a team drafted a quarterback in the second round just to be a backup, let me know at 888-729-3776. You should tune into The Last Dance. It's a behind-the-scenes look at the 90 Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance aired last night. These focused on Dennis Rodman and Phil Jackson. And there were some fascinating moments that revealed not just who Michael Jordan is, but who the characters around that team are. Let me walk you through some of my observations. I took notes as I was watching 3 and 4 last night, and I made little notes to you that I wanted to talk about with you. I've got Bubba, I got Nuno, I got Mike A today. You guys feel free to jump in if you thought any stuff resonated with you. Number one, it was quick in the documentary. It was quick during the Doug Collins era, but there's a moment when they're interviewing Doug Collins, no more with the afro, no more now an older man, but he said, I had Michael Jordan when he was league MVP, defensive player of the year, and slam dunk champion. This was Michael Jordan seemingly averaging 50 points a game. This was Michael Jordan with Doug Collins centering the entire team around Jordan. This was the late 80s. This was 87, 88. This was, quite honestly, when I was 12 or so years old. And it's hard to explain to anyone who might be younger, and all of you guys on the show are a little younger than me. Nuno and I are the closest in age. But it's hard to fully relay the cultural phenomenon that was Michael Jordan in, say, 88. He wasn't yet the champion, Michael Jordan. He wasn't yet the greatest player of all time. But he was, without a doubt, already the biggest phenom in sports. And phenom doesn't work either. It's icon already. It's pop culture explosion. You know, in the 80s, as a kid, there was several of those, and you'd look back, and all of us had it. You know, however old you are, think back to your golden years. It's not your golden years, like when you're really having the most fun, but would the word be formative? It's like when everything started to break through the fog for you. Like, oh, the world out there and the culture, okay, started to come through. Like, Madonna was a thing. Michael Jackson was a thing. A thing, a thing, a thing. Like, when Thriller came out, I remember I had a birthday party, and it was cassette tapes back then, and I got Thriller. I got it, right? And I don't remember who gave it to me, but then I remember another person at my birthday party, Jennifer Dean, who's a good friend of mine and lifelong friend, and ended up being my neighbor. She gave me a cassette tape of Billy Joel's Glass Houses. And I remember getting in trouble because I went, because I wanted a second copy of Thriller. It was so big. Madonna was big. I already said that, I imagine. But
what a Rick move.
I know. But that was when I was young, man. I mean, when was Thriller, by the way? 83? 84? So I was 7 or 8 or something like that, you know? Social graces weren't fully formed. It was a Rick move, Mike. You're right. Sticks with me today, obviously. I remember that.
82 but for Thriller.
82. My gosh, I was young. Pop culture was already starting to get through. But Michael Jordan, okay, I had Jordans. I had Jordan 1s. I had Jordan 3s. I had Jordan 4s, for sure. Jordan 1s were the red and black, red, white, and black. Jordan 3s were, I believe it was the snakeskin ones, which I think today remain the coolest ones. Jordan 4s had like the webbing on the side. Those were awesome. But I had the Spike Lee poster. Everybody had it all. I mean, I'm growing up in a small town outside of Dallas. And you know how I am. I'm like, you've got to be married to one team. Well, I was born to be a Maverick fan. And I was. But I had a second team. You don't think I had a Chicago Bulls sweatshirt? Everybody did, man. You want to know another formative memory? I remember going to a Mavericks game wearing a Chicago Bulls sweatshirt and getting heckled by another kid. And good for that kid. I should have been heckled. I was a Mavs fan. I mean, I remember watching the 88 Western Conference Finals. Mark Aguirre, Rolando Blackman, those guys against the Lakers. Mavs lost, of course. But Jordan was this massive phenomenon. And last night when they were showing those highlights and Doug Collins is talking about it, and I don't remember if it was Cool Moe Dee or who they were playing at that moment, but it's just like it's hard to really capture. I don't think we've had anything in the sports like that since. I truly don't. Tiger Woods is the closest. But who Michael Jordan was, not just as a basketball player, but as something that every kid wanted to touch and be a part of in just some way, be like Mike, of course, it was, just phenomenal. Nuno, you're the closest in age to me. Is there anybody in our lifetimes who's come as close? The answer has to be Tiger Woods, and I don't think it gets there.
I think it would only be Tiger. But the funny part is, obviously, there's two things. One, as a Knicks fan, even though I'm a Carolina fan, I never felt that way about Jordan. I hated him. I'm actually
really?
Starting to gain. I'm starting to get. I'm because he ruined my childhood. Like, because the Knicks, you know, like they could never get over the hump with when it came to them. But I'm starting to respect him more. Just there's something about, and I said it during a pre-show meeting, the fact that he is beyond wealthy. He is the greatest player on earth. And to this day, he still holds these grudges. Like when they brought up the Scottie Pippen with the migraine, and the look on his face like he still wasn't buying that Pippen had migraines, but he couldn't play. Like, I kind of like that. I respect that.
Yeah. I spoke about it a little bit earlier in the Will Cain show, talked about his grudge against Isaiah Thomas and the fact that the Pistons wouldn't shake their hands. I'm going to do that again later on in the Will Cain show because he clearly still holds a grudge. I mean, it's amazing to see it in his face and his eyes. But I agree with you. When he gets to Scottie Pippen, they talk about that game 7 in the, I believe it's Eastern Conference Finals when that happened. Yeah. And Scottie Pippen had a migraine and underperformed. No matter the fact that they went on to win 6 championships later, Scottie didn't escape Jordan's glare. I mean, to this day, to your point, 30 years later, it's still a sore subject for him. So that's number one. And number two, his grudge and his pop culture phenomenon are just unparalleled. Number three, how about the cussing back then? I mean, I don't feel like athletes cuss like this now. It's weird. Like every time they're getting to a microphone, it was Doug Collins, it was Michael Jordan, it was everybody back then. And I'm not talking about like on some kind of social media broadcast. I'm talking about at the podium. You know, with the silver mic in front of them, giving a press conference. They drop bombs all the time back then. Number four, it's full of characters. I mean, of course we all know Rodman, right? And Rodman is eternally fascinating. I think he is. I saw Ryan Rosillo suggest, is he really that fascinating? I think he is, man. I still have questions about who Dennis Rodman is. Do you not? As he sits there in that interview with these turquoise-painted fingernails, his explanation of rebounding, it goes this way, and I go this way, and click. And then, I mean, he's like just pointing in every direction as he's talking about how to get angles and fight for rebounds. And Phil Jackson with his Native American stuff, I mean, and then his Buddhism stuff, it's just every... Who was normal? Like, who was just, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, he's a good dude. What is he weird? No. No, you just, yeah, some meat and potato guys. I don't know, just normal. I mean, you got grudge-holding, greatest player of all time. You got sulking, never fully respected, underpaid Pippen. You got craziness personified in Dennis Rodman. And then you got this Zen Buddhist Native American lover, philosopher, leading it all. And then number five, there's Jerry Krause. And we're going to have to do this more deeply here on the Will Cain Show. But last week, he was painted as the ultimate villain. But as you watch this week and you see that team built, what really needs to be discussed, and we'll do it here tomorrow on the Will Cain Show, is Jerry Krause built that thing. He had the cojones to make big moves. Big moves. Not just player, but coach moves. It created a dynasty. I'm not going to sit here and say Jerry Krause is totally blameless for how it fell apart. Or that he isn't the villain in the later years. But be clear, he's one of the heroes in the early years. That's just some of my thoughts from The Last Dance. We'll get to that Isaiah Thomas sound and that grudge between Michael Jordan and Isaiah and what Isaiah had to say on ESPN Airwaves this morning, a little bit later in the Will Cain Show. But let's talk to a former NFL GM about his thoughts from the draft next on the Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
With the fifth pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback, Alabama.
If he's my player, if he does not play his first year.
When people saw that workout, they said to themselves, he looks really good, he looks explosive.
I really believe he needs the medically redshirt, let that body heal.
There's no question the owner, Stephen Ross, had to sign off on this.
I would protect him from himself for one season, let him fully heal, and then cut him loose.
I've asked people, when has a team ever drafted a quarterback in the second round just to be a backup? Here's some of the answers on Twitter. PK tells me the Eagles drafted Kevin Cobb in the second to back up McNabb at age 32. Ended up trading him later after Vic emerged. But yeah, that's when McNabb is 32. Is that strictly to be a backup at that point? And Jared Brunner tells me RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft. But if I'm not mistaken, Cousins was taken in the fourth, not the second. Different calculation. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's ask this question to former NFL GM Randy Mueller. He was with the Saints. He was with the Chargers, with the Dolphins. Randy, I appreciate you being on the show. When I look at the Eagles taking Jalen Hurts in the second round, I ask this honest question. When has anybody ever taken a quarterback in the second round and said, you know what, he'll be our backup? It seems to me, every example I can come up with, it's to eventually become your guy, isn't it?
Well, I think you're onto something, that's for sure. I think in his case, with Philly, they view themselves as a Super Bowl team, right? So I think if you could make a case for a guy being a niche player or a guy to come in as a backup, I think it's probably them. That doesn't happen very often where you've got all your other holes filled. That tells me that Howie Roseman thinks he's got a really good team. I think the other thing is about a quarterback like that that gets picked in the second round is there's a pretty good chance that he was a first-round player on the Eagles' board. That's usually the way this thing works out. They end up drafting guys that fall to them that they have rated higher. So he could have even been a top 20, top 25 player on the Eagles' board. So I thought that was a little interesting.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I just can't, Randy. I mean, I'm not trying to kill him. It's not my game to just be a jerk about it. I just can't make it make sense. Like the Taysom Hill role, not worth a second round pick. A quality backup. I mean, acknowledging that Carson gets hurt, so he could come in and play two or three games. And if those are wins, that's very valuable. That's one thing. But most people, I'm sure you, when you were running teams, you filled your backup quarterback goals either in free agency or late in the draft. So I'm just having trouble with it, man.
I hear you. I think it's a package type player, just like the Saints do with Taysom Hill. I think this kid is going to play in certain packages. I'm not sure how great it is to take a Carson Wentz off the field or even in the Saints case, a Drew Brees off the field. I know these guys make plays and who knows, Jalen Hurts might give them some benefit as a running back too. You're talking about a big, strong dude now who can break tackles. So he does bring a variety of skill sets that they probably see as much as anything, skill sets that they don't currently have.
Randy Mueller, former NFL GM here on the Will Cain Show. Whose draft did you like the most? If I said, you know, best value, volume's always hard to get away from. Dolphins, Jags, Ravens, they had a lot of picks. So they're going to do well. But whose draft did you really, really like?
You know, I think it's hard not to like some of the drafts that were had at the top. You know, I mean, Miami had three first-round picks, so it's hard not to like their draft. I think they did a great job. The one thing I like about Miami's draft is it filled some of the few needs that they didn't fill in free agency. I think the free agency and the draft are hand-in-hand, right? But what Chris Greer and Brian Flores did was they filled a bunch of holes, not with expensive players, not with top-tier players, but they needed depth, and they filled a bunch of those holes going into the draft. Therefore, they could take the best available player, and I like the sounds of being able to take the best player on our board. They obviously had Tua rated different, and I think sometimes you got to put quarterbacks aside based on a team's desperation and a team's options, and they really had no other options. They felt like he was the best player, no doubt, at their biggest position of need down the road. So they made that pick clear. But those other two picks, especially the offensive linemen, they obviously had a plan. They knew they'd be able to get one later on. And they worked the draft in conjunction with what they did in free agency. So I think they did really well early on. So they would probably get my vote for having the best draft just because those are all going to be impact players right now.
What do you mean they had Tua rated differently?
Well, I think the quarterback, I'm just saying in general, quarterbacks are looked at sometimes a little different. They felt, I mean, let's face it, you knew they were on Tua a year ago, right? So they kind of set his pick aside, and that became a medical decision as much as anything. Not that they rated him differently than anybody else, although I do think the reviews of him were kind of all over the map with regard to his game. I'm just saying that you've got to set quarterbacks aside. Sometimes the need outweighs anything else, and those guys get elevated way to the top no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. And I had questions, Randy, about how sold they were on Tua, because the reports were they were willing to trade up for Joe Burrow all the way to one, but they weren't seemingly willing to trade up to number three. Looked like the Lions were ready to do a deal at three, and the Dolphins didn't feel the need to, which is a big risk to take if Tua is your backup there. It just told me a little bit. I'm sure they like Tua. That's not the issue, but they didn't. They could live without him. How about that? Or they couldn't not live with him. I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I think there's probably a little smokescreen in there, Will. I mean, as we all talk about all the time, you can't believe any of the stuff you hear that 2 weeks prior to. So maybe they were talking about going up. I even heard them talking about going up for a tackle. I know that was malarkey, you know. So there's a bunch of information out there that they're trying to start fires, put out fires with. But I think they were on Tua the whole time. I do think, and they have to do this, in my opinion, they definitely had Joe Burrow rated higher, as did everybody. So there comes some people say, well, Tua in a real draft would be ahead of Joe Burrow. I don't see that at all. I mean, and I think the majority of the NFL teams would feel that way. So they probably just felt they had to do diligence to see if we can trade up. Obviously, Cincinnati wasn't going to do that. So that's why you heard that information.
Okay, one more with you here. And I think this is going to back us in back to the Eagles a little bit. But to me, Randy, it doesn't. Once again, it doesn't make sense for the Packers to take Jordan Love now, if he's the player or not, and I personally don't see that he is, but if he is, okay, let's say he is, the timing doesn't make sense to me. So you got a 5-year contract on four plus the 5th year guaranteed, and then you're saying to yourself, how many more years of Rodgers do you have? You got to think you have three, and so now you're putting Love on the field in his 4th year, and hope you see enough that you know you want to go ahead and pick up his 5th year. The timing just doesn't add up unless you're saying Rodgers is really, really short for the Packers.
Well, I don't know about that, Will. I might be in the minority, but I like the pick. And I know I've heard people criticize it, and I understand it from that angle. But here's the deal. If you don't have a quarterback, you're in trouble. And again, I go back to where was Jordan Love rated on the Packers board? My guess is he may have been a top 10 player. At minimum, he was a top 12 or 13 player. And they're telling themselves, when are we going to ever have a chance to get a guy like this again and secure our future for the next 10 years? So they bit the bullet, said we're going to put next year aside, maybe the next 2 years aside, by drafting a quarterback here. We know he's not going to play. I mean, let's face it, he's not going to beat out Aaron Rodgers. So you're probably right in that you're looking at 3 or maybe 4 years. But Rodgers is going to be 38 years old at that time, too. So time factors in. The other thing I think kind of sold me on the job or on them picking him was the GM and the coach were exuberant after they got him. You could tell that. So that told me they're completely aligned. And if you look back 20 years or however many years ago it was when Rodgers came on board, Mike Sherman was in the last year of his deal. Ted Thompson was building toward the future. So there was a little rub there. In this case, they're all on board with this pick. And I understand people want instant analysis and instant gratification. I just think this guy sews up, if their evaluations are right, and that's what you got to go with, it sews up that position for the next 10 years.
All right, really good analysis. Enjoyed having you on. It's former NFL GM Randy Mueller here on the Will Cain Show. Thank you.
Thanks, Will.
Okay. If you want more draft analysis, there's a podcast up on the Will Cain Show feed right now. It's Cowboys specific. It is a deep dive. It's all the picks. Play a game of Would You Rather for each pick. Do you like that guy or these three that were still on the board? How do they fit needs with two experts, John Owning of the Dallas Morning News and Bobby Belt of the Boys and Girls podcast with Jane Slater? I'm telling you, it's really good. Hour-long conversation. Get you everything you want to know if you're a Cowboys fan and into the draft. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now, you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Jameis Winston may be getting close to a new team. And I think, even though there's not many choices to pick from, it would be one of the best available to him. That's next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Will Cain.
Hey, Will, man, I just want to commend you, man, for everything that you do, man, what you stand for, man. You keep it 100, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a brother from another mother, but I like what you're doing.
Stay right here. More to come from the Will Cain Show.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
If they were committing long-term and saying he's the successor to Drew Brees, we'd have something for the debate shows to talk about all week long.
He understands that there's not pressure to be that starter right now, and he can learn from one of the greats, which is Drew Brees.
He's not the proven answer.
I don't know that Jameis is a very safe option. It's boom or bust with him.
The idea of signing Jameis Winston, I think, was brilliant.
It's a great opportunity for him to just kind of take a deep breath and refocus a little bit and learn behind one of the greatest of all time.
Jameis Winston could be headed to the New Orleans Saints, and it's a perfect fit. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, but it's time now for your SportsCenter update. The Washington Redskins exercised the fifth-year option on defensive lineman Jonathan Allen's rookie contract on Monday, while the Browns will exercise their fifth-year option on 2017 first-round picks, defensive end Miles Garrett and tight end David Njoku. Per league sources. SportsCenter is brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and auto insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com, easy. Let's get to Jameis in just a moment. But P.I. is on the phone lines. What's up, P.I.?
What's going on, Will?
Let me ask you a question, Pierre. Are you on social media?
No.
Yeah, some girl hit me up and said she was communicating with me for you, that you don't do social media.
I don't. Not at all.
Yeah, you knew that, right? That was a while back. It was your birthday or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was my
like
birthday.
That.
Yeah, yep, birthday. Yep. Right.
Yeah. You just think it's a distraction?
Yes, a distraction. I think it's a real bad, I guess you say microcosm of the world. It's really not the way the world is and people think it is. And it's kind of a waste of time. I don't like to socialize with a lot of people like that anyway.
Here's the thing. I got to do more social media. I want to do more social media. And I was thinking about this, P.I. I was thinking about the kind of content we do here on the Will Cain Show and the way to connect. And one of my favorite things is like, well, this relationship that you and I have and I have with some other people out there and a lot of people who don't call in, right? And it's kind of a sense of community. And I'm just thinking, you know, I like this guy, Gary Vaynerchuk. I watch what he does. You know, maybe I go to Instagram, maybe I do some more Instagram lives, maybe some Q&A. It's almost like taking calls. You know what I mean? Almost like talking sports with more people. That's just better than, my opinion of social media is a little bit like you. Like Twitter, I look at that and I'm like, I tweeted this weekend that Indiana Jones holds up. Like it really holds up. And somebody goes, thanks man, you're going to tell us The Godfather's great too? I thought, man, why you got to be angry all the time? Like I watched Indiana Jones with my kids and I couldn't believe it. Here it is, 82 it was made. And it's good. Like, it's good still.
Right. Still good. And you got some a-hole out there just making it an issue for you to say that, right?
Yeah.
I got to stay away from it.
But I do think there's a better way to do it, and I do think we can connect and communicate, and even back and forth, not just from me to broadcast, but to do what you and I are doing right now. So I'm going to try to do more of that. See Will Cain on Instagram. Maybe you can come on. Maybe I'll get you to join.
Give me the join, man. Give me something to actually watch or something to talk about or something to actually read, and I might do it. You know what I mean? But this stuff is just, yeah, it's mostly a waste of time.
I agree. What do you got for me?
So, Mr. Super Bowl contender Jimmy G was drafted to be a backup. He just backed up Tom Brady for, I think, 3 years. Even our Superman Aaron Rodgers was drafted as a backup. The only reason he got his job because Brett Favre has bipolar disorder and he constantly doesn't know if he wants to play football or not. Even my favorite player right now, Lamar Jackson, was drafted to be a backup. Joe Flacco just sucked for the first half of the year and he couldn't get his job back. But I don't think there's anything wrong with the Well, actually, let me say this. Let me put this in your face, mister. Draft a quarterback, and then draft a quarterback again, and then draft a quarterback again, and draft a quarterback. That's Will Cain. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the problem is with Philly drafting a quarterback that they think is a good quarterback, because that's your mantra. Draft him until you can't draft him anymore.
Here's what I'd say. I don't like any of your examples, first of all. I think Lamar Jackson was definitely drafted to take Joe Flacco's job. Who else did you say?
Why would you say that?
Aaron Rodgers was drafted to take Brett Favre's job. He was already threatening retirement. P.I. Brett Favre
If he decided that, okay, I'm going to be here for the next 3 years, you don't think Green Bay would have gave him a contract?
If Brett Favre had said, I'm going to be here for the next 3 years, then what?
Yeah, as opposed to every year, he's like, I don't know if I want to play or not. At some point, they're like, okay, we can't do that anymore. But he's like, okay, I want to play for 3 more years. I'm pretty sure they would have signed to a new contract, and Aaron Rodgers would have sat.
What I'm saying is when they drafted Aaron Rodgers, they were already feeling insecure about Brett Favre. He had already started to threaten that kind of stuff that he might retire, so they had to think beyond Brett Favre. The point I'm getting at is they didn't draft Aaron Rodgers to simply sit. They drafted him because they were afraid their starter was about to walk away and they needed a new starter. I think the Ravens definitely picked Lamar Jackson to supplant Joe Flacco. And Jimmy Garoppolo also was drafted because they did not think Tom Brady would be their quarterback much longer. All of those are different. I will say this. Listen, somebody on Twitter hit me up and gave me, I thought, a really good example. They said, in 2008, Brian Brohm out of Louisville. Well, you remember him?
Yeah,
I do. He was blonde. He was good. Louisville had that high-flying attack. He was drafted. Yep. Aaron Rodgers was only 24, and he was drafted in the second round. That, to me, is the closest I can come to a team legitimately saying, we're drafting this dude to be a backup, because I don't think the Packers were looking at Brohm to take Rodgers' place.
Yeah, I think my examples are mostly older people, but I really do not believe Lamar Jackson was drafted to be the starter the next year. Like maybe 3 or 4 years down the road, but like everybody said, he was supposed to be a project. I think he just popped, and Joe Flacco was having a terrible year.
I didn't put a timeline on it, but I give you the full contract. So a second-round draft pick has a 4-year contract. If Jalen Hurts takes Carson Wentz's job in that 4-year span at any point, oh my gosh, he's 27 years old. I mean,
Broken 27 though. He's broken, dude. Like, just being honest, he hasn't completed a full season. That's just the honest fact about it. I mean, he may have a Steph Curry type thing where, you know, Steph Curry had the ankle swell first couple of years and then he all of a sudden just became a completely healthy person, but this is football. You can't bank on that. So I don't think they're drafting him to be the starter, but I think they can see him as a starter if this guy keeps getting hurt.
I think what they did is this. This is my honest assessment. I've asked you guys all day today, 888-729-3776. Tell me why. Why would you draft Jones? I think this is why, P.I. And I don't think it makes ultimately sense, but we're going to a 17-game schedule. Carson Wentz has yet to complete a 16-game schedule. Odds are you're going to need a quarterback for 2, if not 3 potential games on average in Carson Wentz's career. They believe Jalen Hurts, which they've always believed, the backup quarterback is a top 10 spot on their roster, and they believe Jalen Hurts is that top 10 spot who could step in and increase their chance of winning 2 to 3 games. And that has got to be worth as much as a starting safety. That's what I think their rationale is. But I just don't think we have a history of backup quarterbacks taken in the second round, because that's a lot to spend on an insurance policy.
But if you have a pretty good team, you got a backup who can come in every once in a while and support the team and hold them. Now you got a real asset like a Nick Foles, where if he can hold your team down, or you can trade him and probably get another first round pick in a couple years and just keep flipping them like that. So I think it's just good business.
All right. I appreciate the call, P.I. I'll see you on Instagram, buddy.
Anytime,
see
you right. All right, man.
Okay. The Will Cain Show is brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol is now better than ever, America. Try the new Ultra Grip can today with protective cap and rust-proof aluminum bottom. Close shave, America. Close shave, Barbasol. Jameis Winston might have found a job, and it's the perfect job for Jameis' future. That's next on The Will Cain Show.
The Will Cain Show.
Drew in Ontario.
You always reference Lebowski, and you never get any of your references right, so it makes it questionable if you've ever seen the movie. And any of your points are questionable after that.
You're a
More coming up.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Jameis Winston might have found the perfect home. Temporary home, that is. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio today on ESPN Daily. There's no NBA figure more polarizing than Dennis Rodman here, the ESPN reporter who co-wrote the book on Rodman and lived with the bad boy player at the height of his fame. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. I remember it was probably 1997, '98. So it's about this time frame when we're looking at Dennis Rodman that last year of the Chicago Bulls dynasty. I grew up in a small town in North Texas. There's a lake up there called Lake Texoma. And it's a place where people from Dallas and southern Oklahoma come, bring their big boats, cigarette boats, you know, big fountains and that kind of thing. You know, fill them up with strippers and have a good time. And Rodman's from Dallas and then played in southern Oklahoma college ball, and that was kind of always where he kept his foothold. I'll never forget, I had a little ski boat back in the day, and I was on the lake by what's called North Island, and me and my buddies are all having a good time playing around, and I don't know what she did for a living, but I'll just say she had a very small bikini. She came flying up on like a jet ski or Yamaha Wave Runner, remember those back in the day, and just side plowed right into my boat, and I mean, the apologies ensued, the curse words are flying everywhere, and then she just motored right back on over to Dennis Rodman's boat, and they kind of gave a little wave. I was like, a little wave, you know, a little love here for what just went down. That was my partying with Dennis Rodman. I've met him now. I really like him. Nice guy. Jameis Winston might have just found the perfect home. Reports are that he could be signing with the New Orleans Saints. Now, this comes on the heels of Taysom Hill signing an extension with the Saints. But Adam Schefter and others over the weekend said Jameis Winston could find a home for the next year with Sean Payton. There aren't many jobs left. There aren't any starting jobs that I can really identify after the NFL draft. If you're Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, or Andy Dalton, where are you looking? Where do you find a starting opportunity? You can't. And that makes you recalculate what your goal is for this next year. And for Jameis, I would say the goal is to rehabilitate his football image. And what better place than New Orleans? He comes with, of course, issues, his turnover issues, but he's got amazing talent. Nuno, if you're there and you have this, Himbo, the researcher on GetUp, put out an interesting stat this morning. Many people have compared Winston to Peyton Manning and the interceptions he threw over the last couple of years. Now, I am skeptical of Winston. You know that. I've talked about it here on the Will Cain Show, but I'm not ready to write him off, especially as a value buy. If you get Jameis for cheap, see if you can turn him into a reclamation project. Here's what Himbo, the GetUp researcher, put out this morning. First five NFL seasons, Drew Brees, 62% completion, 85 passer rating, 1.5 touchdown to interception ratio. Jameis, 61% completion, 87 passer rating, 1.4 touchdown to interception ratio. And then Himbo tweets out, Drew Brees wasn't Drew Brees until Sean Payton rescued him. Jameis could accomplish two things by signing with the Saints. Number one, rehabilitate his football player image. Meaning, you go under the tutelage of Sean Payton, you go for a year in that scheme, you go as seen, as taught by Sean Payton, other teams are going to be more interested in you next year as a potential starting quarterback. Other teams are going to look at you as, oh, maybe he has been rehabilitated, whether or not you have. Oh, he has been a reclamation project, whether or not you have. It's just like it's going to the right college. It's joining the right company. You know, you worked there. Oh, everybody that worked there has a good reputation. I've seen the success they've had. Oh, look, Teddy Bridgewater got a job just a year ago. Yeah, I said, well, look what he did under Sean Payton. And yeah, so he gets a job with the Panthers and gets paid. Just like you or me, go work at the right place that has some reputational value, some reputational ability to do things for you, and it rubs off on you almost in an unearned fashion, right? Trust me, a lot of it's earned. You get to do what you want to do, but I mean, how about my business? There's a lot of people that get ratings at certain networks, and they're great, but the network gets a lot of ratings, and you're seen as a success. You could be great and go work for a network that gets no ratings, and you'll be burdened with the idea that you're not good for ratings. Let me tell you something. The Saints are good for ratings, and Jameis will get credit for that. Number two, outside of the reclamation project, outside of rehabilitating his football image, maybe he inherits that job. Drew Brees signed a 2-year extension with the Saints, but most people are suggesting that's probably a 1-year deal. Drew Brees, I think also, guys, I don't know if this has been confirmed yet. Has he signed a deal with NBC to become part of their coverage really soon, like a year from now? I don't know if it's studio, I don't know if it's booth, but Sunday Night Football, Drew Brees, I don't know, Mike A., if you have that, or Bubba, I can't remember where that story left off. If it was speculated or confirmed that Drew Brees was narrowing in on a deal with NBC. But the point is, Jameis, by going to a place like New Orleans, if he does well, doesn't just rehabilitate his image for the rest of the league, but maybe he inherits that job from Drew Brees. Maybe not. Maybe it's Taysom Hill's. But if I'm a guy like Jameis or a guy like Cam, I'm looking for one of two kinds of jobs. And this right here, the Saints, might just provide the perfect outcome for Jameis Winston. By the way, what are those two kinds of jobs I'm looking for? Because now the question is for Cam. Where should he be looking to sign? I'll lay out what those two kinds of jobs are, and I'll even fill in the blanks on who the teams are in those two categories that Cam and Jameis should sign with. That, and would you rather be, if you're Jameis, with the Saints or the Steelers? Which will be better? All that's coming up later on the Will Cain Show. But let's debate Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts next.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.